चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततोज्यायमुदीरये. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 30, Text Number 5. Suparna, Skantam, Suparna Sundam, Aruto, Aruto, Suparna Skantam Aruto, Meru Shrigam, Meru Shrigam, Meru Shrigam, Ivam Buddha. Vivam Buddha, Meru Shingam Vivam Buddha, Meru Shingam Vivam Buddha, Kita Vasa, Kita Vasa, Mani Grivaha, Mani Grivaha. Kita Vasa Mani Kriva,
Kita Vasa Mani Kriva,
Kita Vasa Mani Kriva,
Kita Vasa Mani Kriva,
Kurvan,
Kurvan,
Vitimira,
Vitimira,
Dishaha,
Dishaha,
Kurvan, Vitimira, Dishaha,
Kurvan, Vitimira, Dishaha,
Kurvan, Vitimira, Dishaha,
Kurvan, Vitimira, Dishaha.
Suparnaskanda Marudho
Suparnaskanda Marudho
Verushringam Vivam Buddha
Verushringam Vivam Buddha
Hitavasa Mani Griva
Hitavasa Mani Griva
Kurvan Viti Miradishaha
Kurvan Viti Miradishaha
Suparnaskanda Marudho
Suparnaskanda Marudho
Verushringam Vivam Buddha Hitavasa Mani Griva
Hitavasa Mani Griva
Kurvan Viti Miradishaha
Kurvan Viti Miradishaha
Aruha,
Aruha,
sitting on,
Meru,
Meru. Shingham. On the summit. Diva. Like. Amudaha. A cloud. Pitavasa.
Wearing yellow garments.
Manigribaha. His neck decorated with a Kashoba
jewel.
Kurban.
Making.
Bitimira. Bitimira. Free from darkness. Dishaha.
All directions.
Translation. The personality of Godhead appearing on the shoulder of Garuda seemed like a cloud resting on the summit of the mountain known as Meru. The transcendental body of the personality of Godhead was covered by attractive yellow garments, and his neck was decorated with the jewel known as Kashubhamani. The bodily effulgence of the Lord dissipated all the darkness of the universe. Would you like to repeat? The personality of Godhead, appearing on the shoulder of Garuda, seemed like a cloud resting on the summit of the mountain known as Meru. The transcendental body of the personality of Godhead was covered by attractive yellow garments, and his neck was decorated with the jewel known as Kaushubhamani. The bodily effulgence of the Lord dissipated all the darkness of the universe. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. As stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 22.31, Krishna Surya Samo Maya Hoya Andhakar Jahan Krishna Tahan Nahi Maya Adhikar. The Lord is just like the effulgent sun. Consequently, whenever the Supreme Personality of Godhead is present, there cannot be darkness or ignorance. Actually, this dark universe is illuminated by the sun, but the sun and moon simply reflect the bodily effulgence of the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita 7.8, the Lord says, Prabhasmi Shashi Surya Yoho. Prabhasmi Shashi Surya Yoho. I am the illuminating energy of both the sun and the moon. The conclusion is that the origin of life is the bodily effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also confirmed in Brahma Samhita, Yasya Kripa, Prabhupato Jagadanda Koti. Being illuminated by the bodily effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything is free from all darkness. Om Jnanatimiram Nasya Jnanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manohishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Padatmaya Adati Swakadantikam Vande Sri Guru, Sri Yuta Parakamala, Sri Guru Vaishnavanscha, Sri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam, Tham Sajivam, Sadvaitam Sadvajutam, Arijanam Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhamitamscha Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Sri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namaste Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paschate Deshtiparine Namaum Krishna Krishnaya Kundale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Vinamine Sri Varshabana Videhi Daitaya Kripatnaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Daine Prabhade Namaha Madhuryo Jvala Premadya Shiru Bhagavata Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatane Rupa Yoga Virutaka Siddhanta Tanta Harine Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshat Vairagya Murtaye Vipranamma Rasambode Udayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sakshinananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupa Yoga Varayate Gaura Virbhava Bhomestvam Nirdesa Satchanapriya Vaishnava Sarvabhomashri Jagannathaya Te Namaha Vancha Kalpaturugyascha Krupa Sindhukya Evacha Patitana Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Krishe Namaha Pancha Tattva Pratam Krishna Bhakta Rupa Svarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktavyam Namami Bhakta Shaktitam Te Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bhando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Jayatam Sudato Pangor Mama Manda Madhirgati Matsarvasva Padambojo Radha Madanamohano Divya Vrindaranyan Kalpadrumata Srimad Ratnangana Simhasanasto Srimad Radha Shiva Govinda Deva Vrishtalidhi Sehemanu Smanami Srimad Rasarasarambhi Vamshi Vatatakasitaha Karshan Venu Svanir Gopi Gopinath Shiestunaha Tapta Panchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Karamani Hari Priye Vrindayai Tumsi Devyai Priyayai Keshavasya Vishnu Bhakti Kare Satyavatai Namo Namaha Sri Nishinga Jai Nishinga Jai Jai Nadashimha Prahlada Isha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Vringa Yada Yada Hikarmasya Vladir Bhavati Bharata Akyutana Matarmasya Tadatmanam Sridhamyam Paditranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chutusvritam Dharma Samstapanarthaya Sambhavami Yehye Manmana Bhavamadhakto Madhyajivam Namaskuru Mami Vaishyasi Bhaivam Atmanam Matparayanaha Sarvadharman Paritya Mamekam Sharanam Raja Aham Tvam Sarvapapevyo Mokshayishami Masuchaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Sri Merushingam Ivamburaha Kita Vasa Madhikriva Kurvam Iti Miradishaha. The personality guided appearing on the shoulder of Garuda seemed like a cloud resting on the summit of the mountain known as Meru. The transcendental body of the personality god was covered by attractive yellow garments, and his neck was decorated with a jewel known as Kaushubamani. The bodily effulgence of the Lord dissipated all the darkness of the universe. That somebody's wandering in the darkness, lost in the forest, and then comes upon a clearing and sees that there's a cottage and the lights are on, then immediately the heart becomes satisfied knowing that somebody's home. Therefore, the Vedas say, Tamasimaju Tirgamai. Try to go home, back towards the light. We say, God is his light, Nesha's his darkness. And Krishna is the source of all the light. Yasya prapa prapapato jagadandakoti kotishta shesha vasudadi bhutibhinam. That his effulgence is spread throughout all the universes and is maintaining everything. Just like gardeners know that when you come towards the springtime, the plants know it before you do. You go out in the garden and you start to see that, although I can barely perceive it unless I look at the Navy's calculation for how much the sun is changing and coming closer and is present longer in the sky. But if I go out and I look in my garden, I can see that the buds are already starting to notice the light of the sun. They come alive with that. And as the light increases, they bloom. They fully come out. So Prabhupada has compared this Brahmajyoti sustaining everyone's life within the three worlds, within the entire material universe. The sun is just reflected light. And we all eat that light because all the plant life that we eat is actually sunlight transformed into biofuel because we're like bio engines, at least the material body is in. And we live off that sunlight. All the fish in the ocean, even the tiny plankton, they live off that sunlight and they thrive on it. And that's all coming from Krishna. And when it goes dark, everyone becomes morose. That's why everyone goes to sleep at night. My father had Alzheimer's and before he died, and he used to set the table for breakfast at night because he had a condition that people with dementia get. It's called sundowning. And that means that you get completely disoriented when the sun goes down. I was talking to my brother about it one night, about why our father gets so confused at that time of night. And he said, it's actually everyone gets confused at that time of night. That's why everyone goes to sleep. Because when the light goes down, what is the impetus anymore? Of course, there's electric light and people try to artificially keep it going. But actually, in this dark universe, the only source of our happiness is the warmth of the light and the sunlight. It gives us nourishment. And that's, as Krishna says, this sunlight is me. Prabhasmi Shashishurya Gaho. That light of the sun is Krishna. In Hawaii, the devotees were going to the beach sometimes and they sheepishly said to Prabhupada that we feel bad about going to the beach because, although Prabhupada told them you can recreate in that way, you can swim in the ocean. He said, we feel like it's mine. And Prabhupada said, the sun is there, that's Krishna. Prabhasmi Shashi Suryoyo, the ocean is there. Krishna says, I'm the ocean. How could you possibly be in Maya? But it's possible. Definitely possible. And so that's the problem. The Srimad Bhagavatam Kavi Yogendra says, Payam Dvitya Vinivesita Syad Ishad Peta Sipipari Yosmiti. That the little jiva turns his head away from the light. That's the whole problem. And then he gets fear and anxiety. And the Mahabharata says, there are five different kinds of ignorance that the living entity falls into. And the first is that jiva identifies himself as the material body and thinks this is me. And then he takes material sense gratification as the standard of enjoyment. And then he gets an anxiety about it. Then he laments. And then there's a fear of death also, because he thinks I'm this body, under Tramisha. Does it sound familiar, or is it just me? These are the results of turning away from the light. Immediately there's ignorance, the shadow. So, we're reading from the Bhagavatam where Krishna actually makes his appearance. And personally, the devotees want to see the Lord personally. Because, as we know from the Shri Upanishad, Hiranmayena Patrena Satya Sapitam Mukham, that the devotee is saying that your dazzling effulgence is covering your real face. And please remove that covering so that I can see your form of bliss. And so the Brahmajyoti actually lies that pure effulgence of the Lord is beyond the eight coverings of the universe. And these coverings are earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and prakriti, or ego, someplace that says prakriti means the source of all the other elements. And within those different coverings, which make a shell around the universe, there are presiding deities. The presiding deity within the first shell, earth, is Bhumi. And above that is Matsya. And all the way through, there are various deities that preside in those various regions. And beyond, in the last region is Mohini Murti, presiding. And when Gopakumar, the hero of the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, penetrates these various regions, actually, you don't have to penetrate them because it's not like it's dense earth. It's a region which represents the earth, or the source of all the earth. And there are living entities there. There are living entities everywhere, sarvagataha, as Krishna says in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And when Gopakumar goes through each one of the levels of the universe, each one of the deities invite him to stay here, stay in this realm. In fact, that happens everywhere he goes. And finally, because of his desire, he's urged forward to find the Lord. He's on his way to Mahakalapur, which is the abode of liberation, which is beyond the covering of the universe. And in Mahakalapur, the Lord is an effulgent light. However, he does have a form. It's just that his effulgence is so great that you can't see that form. According to Sanatana Goswami, the living entities who are merged into that effulgence also do service, because it's the eternal nature of the soul to do service, right? Nityasiddhi Krishna Prema Sati Kabunai. And it's naturally his propensity. So Sanatana Goswami says that the living entities in that Brahmajyoti, they do service by sparkling. And they decorate the form of Mahakala, the impersonal form, so-called impersonal. It's personal but not impersonal. And when Gopakumar goes there and sees that form, then the light gets brighter and he can't see the form, and he has this urge to merge into the effulgence, the light. But Sanatana Goswami says he resists that urge due to two reasons. One reason is because of the mercy of the Vaishnava. He received the mercy of a Vaishnava who gave him his mantra. They gave him initiation. Of course, his spiritual master he met while he was a cowherd, and he admired one sadhu who every day he would bring gifts to. And the sadhu one day called him aside and said, I'll give you, I have something for you, as if he was going to hand him a gift. So he called him near the sacred river, and then he gave him the mantra, his Diksha mantra, Krishna mantra, which propitiates Manan Gopal. And then he fainted. That is, the spiritual master fainted. Because when he heard the mantra, he was so overcome, he couldn't maintain his consciousness, and he fainted. And then when he came back to consciousness, he got up and walked away out of ecstasy. And Gopakumar was standing there, bereft of any sambandha jnana or any instruction about how to chant the mantra. But he felt some gratitude that he had received this from somebody who he respected. He didn't even know exactly what a saintly person was. He was ignorant of the ways of spiritual life, but he had an appreciation, some gratitude. So he took the mantra and he began to chant the mantra. And later, when we follow his progress through all the different universes, he is drawn forward in his progress towards going back to Goloka Vrindavan. And when he's in the abode of liberation and the feeling that he wants to merge, which he was afraid of, because he had a sense that if he merges into this Mahakalapur, an abode of liberation, then he may never be able to move from there. And Sanatana Goswami says, the mantra and the mercy of the Vaishnava, these are the two most important items that keep us moving in our spiritual life, taking advantage of the Vaishnava's mercy and the mantra. And anyone who is developing in spiritual life can take advantage of the mantra, because it's readily available for anyone, anywhere. In the Namashtakam, Rupa Goswami says, Vacham Vachakam Ikudeti Bhavato Dvanta Vibhavo, that the mantra and Krishna are non-different, but then he makes a distinction. He said there is a difference between the two. He says that the mantra is more merciful than Krishna himself. Because even if you go away from Krishna and you offend Krishna, still the mantra will follow you wherever you go and bring you back. Actually, the mantra follows people everywhere. In the Sankirtan movement, we know that everywhere we go, the devotees chant the mantra. And in fact, when Gopa Kumar is in the abode of liberation, Lord Shiva and his Sankirtan party show up in the Brahmajyoti. And they're doing Sankirtan there, Harinam Sankirtan. They're traveling all over the universe. And from that vantage point in the abode of liberation, Gopa Kumar can also see that there are Vishnu Dutas, the messengers of Lord Vishnu, are entering into the various material universes. And they assist the devotees in their devotional service. Even though they're unseen, Sanatana Goswami says, they're there assisting us. So the mantra, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and the names of Krishna are more merciful than even Krishna. And they're more dear to Krishna than himself. Sanatana Goswami also says that the devotees are more dear to, like Uddhava, are more dear to Krishna than he himself, and also the mantra is more dear to him. So by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we can immediately attract the attention of Krishna and be drawn to the light of the holy name, which is so powerful. Rupa Goswami says, Yadabhaso kyutyam kabalita pava dvanta divabo drisham tatvandanam apitishati pakti pranayanin. These are verses from the Rupa Goswami's Namashtakam. And that is that even if someone is completely blind to the truth, they don't know anything about spiritual life. Tattva andana means they're blind to tattva, blind to truth. If they hear, or if they just get the semblance of light from the holy name, Yadabhaso means the dim rays of the light, then they can awaken to the truth. Yadabhaso kyutyam kabalita pavatvanta vibhavo. The great darkness is swallowed up by the power of the holy name. And even if it's indirect light, it's very faint, it can swallow up the darkness. Then he says that someone who's blind to the truth can come to know what bhakti is just by hearing the holy name. That mantra, which is paramaksharakite, is the supreme combination of all syllables. That is 16 names, 32 syllables in the Maha Mantra. It's the supreme combination of syllables, and one can fix one's mind on those syllables, 32 syllables of 16 names in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and then awaken. And in this verse, we're hearing about how the Prachetas received the mantra from Lord Shiva, Vaishnava's mercy. And by giving his special mercy and consideration to the Prachetas and giving them a mantra, they were able to see Lord Vishnu directly. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that living entities are wandering and wandering in this world. But then they meet a Vaishnav physician. And the Vaishnav physician has mantras and instructions. And by taking these medicinal elements of the mantra and the instruction, then anyone can come to the perfect stage, receive it from the Vaishnav. So we're all deputized doctors to distribute that mantra and also give instruction. That's what the Krishna Consciousness Movement is. It's a mass movement to distribute medicine during an epidemic. And there's an epidemic going on. I tell people sometimes when distributing books that we're helping people who are afflicted by the disease of avidya, ignorance. And they just listen to it and they go, okay. Because they tell them that it's the worst kind of disease, avidya, ignorance. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about how there's two classes of living beings. Some are in darkness and some are in light. Yanisha sabhabhutanam tasyam jagrati samyami. Yasyam jagarti bhutani sa nisha pashato munehe. The awakened person, she sees the daytime as spiritual life and activities of spiritual life. And that's the person who's progressively going back to Godhead. And then the other kind of person thinks that is a waste of time. They don't have even 2 seconds to take the spiritual life. We know, because we ask a lot of them. And Prabhupada did too, because when he was going shop to shop in New Delhi with his magazines, the Back to Godhead magazine, he wrote an article during that time. He was getting the paper, he was doing the printing, and he was doing the distribution, all of it. And writing all the articles, so he wrote an article, Chronic Disease of Modern Man, No Time. No time. So the self-realized person is giving more and more time to cultivating Krishna consciousness, whereas the person in darkness thinks that the progress in life will be called by investing more and more time in material life. So much so, I interviewed devotee of Rakesh Oberoi in New Delhi, also known aka Hanuman. He's arguably the biggest book distributor in the world. He does corporate sankirtan. I asked him how he does it, so he told me, and I wrote it all down. And he looks through the trades in New Delhi for billionaires. He has no more interest in millionaires. For billionaires, and he finds who's got a windfall, whose company is really doing well right now, and then he makes an appointment to meet them so he can encourage them in spiritual life and ask them to help. So when he finally gets an appointment with these really big people, he said, he goes in and they ask him, what would you like to take? Like the secretary or something says, what would you like? There's a fine for cell phones. You have to buy a Shishupanishad. Is that all right? Okay, so turn your cell phones on and leave the ringer up high. Raj will collect the money. How much is it for an Isho? 30 rupees. So if your cell phone goes off, happily volunteer. Just raise your hand, say, it was me, my cell phone went off, and I'm going to donate 30 rupees. Raj will collect it over here, and we'll give you a Shishupanishad. So he goes into the office, and the secretary, was that one? Could you raise your hand? Who is it? One Sri Shapanishad sold over there. Thank you very much. Go ahead, Raj. Okay. So he goes in the office, and he asks the secretary for lukewarm water. I said, lukewarm water. What do you ask for lukewarm water? He said, it takes them a long time to figure out how to make lukewarm water. Because if you ask for cold water, that's ready. If you ask for hot water, that's ready. But lukewarm water, they try to figure it out. And it gives them, he said, at least an extra minute. Because all he gets is about 60 seconds to see the guy. When he makes, it takes him a year or two to make the appointment. And 60 seconds to actually make a connection with him. And I say, what do? When you go in? And he said, I give him a big hug. And I just make a connection, a friendly connection, and I try to find out as much information about the person as possible, and then we start sending Mahaprasadam to his house and to his office. Find out when his wife's birthday is, and the big birthday cake, the brahmachari brings the birthday cake to the house and so on. And then after a while, they want to know, what can I do for you? And then he invites him to meet Gopal Krishna Maharaj. And then they talk about it. So the point is, in the material world, there's little time to waste for the materials to so much engaged in trying to make advancement in spiritual life. And also, the Goswamis of Vrindavan, Samkhya Purva Ganama Dana Nakadi Kalavasani Krito, they counted every second of the day how they could be engaged in counting mantras and bowing down and how many shlokas they read and so forth. There's a verse in the Puranas that says, just as a miser counts and recounts his coins every day to see how much he has and how much increase there is, the devotees should count and recount their mantras and see how many they're chanting and covet those and be greedy about them and such. So the Prachetas now have the direct darshan of Lord Vishnu, who is pleased and presented himself. And anyone, every living entity, has an eternal kinship with the Lord. So nitya nitya sambandha prakritishcha parayasa. Bhagavad Brahma Samhita says, every living entity has an eternal kinship with the Lord. And it's obscured now because I've turned my face away from the light. And now, simply by turning towards the light, tasmad ekena manasa bhagavan sattvatam bhati shrotavya kirtitavyascha geya pujascha nityada. Suta Goswami says to the sages, just by one-pointed attention towards hearing, chanting, remembering, and the other activities of devotional service, one can achieve the perfection of life. And then, of course, Atashri Krishnanamani Navaved Grayam Indriye Seva Mukhihi Jivado Svayamiva Spuratyada. If you dedicate yourself practically to the service of the Lord, as the Prachetas did, by using your tongue, you need to look no further than the tongue. That's the rudder for the ship of the body. It directs us which way we're going. And if you dedicate your tongue to Krishna, then he'll reveal himself, says the Padma Purana. So we have direct evidence that the Lord is appearing to living entities everywhere. And to anyone who surrenders to the Lord, dedicating the tongue and taking advantage of the mantra and the mercy of Vaishnavas, this is altogether possible. So we're following the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and spreading the mantras as far and wide as possible and availing people to the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a worthy occupation, really worthy occupation. To be engaged in this is the highest kind of welfare work. And most everything else in life that requires maintenance and such is boring. Everything related to pushing forward the Sankirtan movement is exciting, and you can tell when you go to meetings. If you're in meetings, managers' meetings, and you're talking about how to fix temples and find a new temple president and so forth, it becomes very depressing. The energy goes down, down, down. But when you start talking about how to increase the preaching, everyone gets out of their seat, and they start, they're brainstorming. The Prabhupada said, taxing their brains, how to do more. It's exciting. So it's an exciting movement. Not only do we get to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead by every day through this arrangement of the Lord, through the Archavigraha, through His holy name, through association with devotees and so forth, we also get to engage in something which is the highest welfare activity, to distribute it. Those are some random opening comments, and now if you have questions or comments or reflections, anything that you heard. Please. Thank you, Babu. Could you put together two quotes? Right at the end, you were mentioning about how to manage. And it reminded me of a quote Prabhupada said, management follows preaching like a shadow. He said that in a couple of letters. And he also said to Guru Maharaj, organization and intelligence, that's how this will move along. So organization and intelligence. But also the other side, management follows preaching.
When you think about giving, it stimulates your intelligence in a profound way. Because when you give, you gain, you grow. The members of the Panchatapa broke open the storehouse of love of God and distributed and ate its contents. And the more they gave it out, the more it increased. And what kind of intelligence that Prabhupada was talking about is spiritual intelligence. That's the kind of intelligence that's really important. Prabhupada took all kinds of risks that normal people with great intelligence told him, don't do it. It's not going to work. You need startup capital to go to America. That's what you need. Prabhupada had spiritual intelligence, which was, I'm depending on Krishna. And that's what happens when you put yourself out for a preaching movement. You take a risk. You've got to live on the edge. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to keep all of his sannyasis broke. Everyone in the month. Whenever they get money, he'd say, spend it right away. And then borrow more, so you're always broke. And so he wanted them to be on edge. And anyone who knows, who's developed projects anywhere, when you're broke and you don't know where the money's going to come from, you stay up all night. Right? Or is it just me? I didn't know. When we're building a new temple in San Jose, it'll be open in a couple of weeks, and I didn't know where the money was going to come from. And we got an initial amount of money that came in really easily. Somehow it was Christian's arrangement by a bunch of devotees each giving something. And then the managers, of course, came and said, it's going to cost a lot more than that now. Typical, right? You could always count on the fact that somebody's going to come and say, well, that was not enough. This is going on here, too. We need $30 million more dollars so everyone buy a bunch of footage and tell everyone else to do it too. And so if you think about preaching, if you think about giving, and you pray to Krishna and you stay on the edge, that's when the magic happens. That's when the real intelligence comes in.
So that's the life of strategic planning, say. That's a buzzword in the last few years.
Yeah, first think how to give, and then think how to organize it afterwards. If you do it the opposite way, it's boring. And everyone quits, because boring's not good. Soul needs excitement.
Thank you, sir.
I know I do. Yes.
I have a comment and a question. Related to what you were saying, there's one pastime that I experienced with His Divine Grace in Los Angeles, if you want to hear it. I had gone to Los Angeles. I was president of Puerto Rico at the time, 1973. And I had cooked something for Prabhupada. The first and last time I ever cooked for him. It was eggplant parmesan, for those who wanted to know. And after finishing the preparation, I went looking for Shuki Kirti, who was Prabhupada's servant at the time, to tell him that I made the preparation, put it on his plate. And Prabhupada was in his garden at the time, and taking massage. And Shuki Kirti was leaving at the time as his servant. And Satsarupa Maharaj had become his servant. Didn't last long, but he was his servant giving Prabhupada a massage. So I went in very quietly and told Shuki Kirti, please put this on the plate. And Prabhupada saw me, and he said, you know, come. So he had me sit in front of him on the grass. You know, someone brought me something to sit on. And Prabhupada looks at me and he says, when God sees, you see. Accept or refute, he said to me. I said, let me get out of this quickly. For, of course, Prabhupada, whatever you say, I accept. You know, well, I'm free. Prabhupada said, but how do you accept? He said to me. Oh, yeah. And I started to mind and speculate. When Mahavishnu glances over the material nature, sense objects that are, you know, are created and therefore we can see. It wasn't what he was looking for, you know. At the same time, Satsuru is looking like this, looking like this, giving me a hint. But when you're with Prabhupada, you can't, you know, you lose all your ability or intelligence. So Prabhupada said, no, one of the eyes of God is the sun, the other is the moon. See, when he sees by this light reflecting him, then you can see. And I realized at that point that we are dependent. Our seeing, the sense gratification, seeing, is actually dependent on Krishna. So Prabhupada was teaching us how to become dependent in this way on Krishna, just by understanding how one of his eyes, two of his eyes, illuminating everything. That was my comment about it. It was sort of related to it. Another question I have, and it's not related, it's more related to Sankirtan. And I had a question because I had heard this story, and sometimes I repeat it, and I wanted to verify the story about the dog that does Sankirtan, or did Sankirtan. I don't know if you know this happened. Yeah. So I wanted to verify the story with you.
Dogs can do Sankirtan. What's wrong with dogs doing Sankirtan? They're perfectly capable.
No, I mean,
in fact, we just read it
where you are.
Last night. Yeah, they
do. Okay, just wanted to verify.
We invite everybody. One of our devotees was bringing their dogs on Sankirtan. They said, well, if they're going to come, they got to do book distribution. So she had these backpacks made for her dog, and they hold the books. And people come over and they say, what a cute dog, and what's the book? And we put their names on the score sheet. So, but this is an example of taxing your brain. There's all kinds of ways that you can do this. And mentioning your beautiful story with Srila Prabhupada, I was thinking of the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Gauda Gai Pushpavanto Chitra Shando Tamo Nuda. That Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, says the author, have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Gauda to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. So the poetry of this is that normally there's the sun or the moon at different intervals, but now the sun and the moon have arisen simultaneously, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, to dissipate the darkness of ignorance. And there's a definition of what that ignorance or darkness is. Dharma prochita kaitabo tra paramo nirmatsaranam satam. The verse from the second verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam says, kaitava, cheating, means anything that's outside the realm of pure devotional service. This is what obscures my vision. It obscures my ability to see the Lord. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda are teaching this sweet surrender, giving up everything for the sake of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's such a wonderful way that everyone can take advantage of it. It's never been seen before in the world. Such a mass distribution of these pure principles. When I was in Tokyo recently, I was at the Govinda's restaurant having lunch with my friend Satyadev Prabhu. And as we had walked to the restaurant, I stopped and I picked up my copy of Watchtower. You all read that? No? I recommend it. Watchtower is from the Jehovah's Witness. And they're really organized. Talk about organization and intelligence. We've got a lot to learn from the Jehovah's Witness. They make their own ink from their own farms. They have all their own printing presses. They print prolific numbers of books, and they have a distribution system all over the world in all different kinds of languages. As Prabhupada said, as many books and as many languages all over the world. So I picked up my copy of Watchtower, and I was reading it at the table, just leafing through to see what they were up to. And I commented to Satyadev that of all the different kinds of people that I meet when I go out on book distribution, they seem to be the most closed-minded. And as the restaurant cleared out, the proprietor of the restaurant, Mama Mungo Prabhu, came over and he said, I have somebody I'd like to introduce you to. A Japanese businessman who frequents the restaurant. And he said, He's a Jehovah's Witness. What are the chances? And so the man talked to us and he said, I so deeply appreciate your books because I've looked through them and I find that there's no motive for approaching God. You're not asking anything. Just pure devotional service. He said, this is the, you're giving the highest thing. And then he said, also I noticed how devoted all your members are because your movement appears to be so unorganized. Yet you persist. And then he said, don't worry, we were like that 150 years ago. And oftentimes, another point about light and knowledge, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, amani bham adam bham, humility and pridelessness opens the mind and the heart to knowledge. Mahatma Prabhu, the great Mahatma Prabhu, who lives here, I think, the incomparable Mahatma Prabhu, one of the great pioneers of the Sankirtan movement, Mahatma Prabhu, he says that there are three words that block all learning. I know that. And those who are approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead must have an open heart. And we read the other night in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that your advancement in devotional service is based on your appreciating capacity. This is Prabhupada's words in the purport. Your capacity to appreciate. In fact, the different lower forms of life, like dogs and pigs and monkeys and so forth, they can't appreciate Krishna so much. I mean, some can. But not that much. But when you get a human body, the appreciating capacity is augmented. And by performing devotional service, taking the mantra, the mercy of Vaishnava, the idea is to increase the appreciating capacity. And the more you appreciate, the more your devotional life appreciates. I think that's it, right? Huh? Yeah. So thank you very much. And we'll see you on the mark. Go pray, Manandeya.